Living in a culture which normalizes wealth and materialism has got to be, I think, one of the hardest things about being a follower of Jesus. It's hard, isn't it? It kind of feels like we're born into a cage. You might call it the cage of excess. We are trapped and surrounded by the pursuit of money and assets, where a person's worth and happiness are linked to material things, where a person's self, their status and identity is symbolized through their luxurious items and brand name products, where a person's own success is measured by what they have or are worth financially. We live in a cage where the pursuit of material wealth is, for the most part, widely accepted and even celebrated. We live in a cage where we are cheered on. You see, materialism, it's become like a power, hasn't it? Like a lord. We put our faith in money, advertisements, logos, brands, they are its symbols. Shopping is its ritual. Shopping malls are its big cathedral. For each one of us, we are surrounded, participants even, of a culture which just normalizes excess. It feels like we're in a cage. And sadly, as most of we know, if we think for a second, the cage is hurting us, isn't it? The normalization of wealth and materialism is leading to all sorts of horrors. Marginalization, environmental decay, emotional and mental health problems, gambling addictions, and shallow relationships. This year, McCrindle Research found that 80% of working-age Australians are stressed about money and finances. 80%. And then the second highest cause of worry amongst our teenagers is what they'll do in the future. You see, behind all the smoke and mirrors, the pursuit of wealth is deeply hollow and destructive. But what's even worse is that it's also hurting the church. It's hurting us here. Wealth and materialism is so normal for us. It shapes our prayer lives, our generosity, our view of suffering and trials, our careers and vocations, our ministry strategies even, and even what we believe to be the content of the gospel. You see, the cage is hurting us as well. And so the question is, how do we live for Christ in a cage and culture of excess? What does the beautiful life in Christ look like for us in an era of materialism? Well, that's what the focus is of Matthew 6, 19 to 24. You see, when it comes to material wealth, this part of God's word reminds us to be wholehearted toward God. The Lord Jesus calls us to have hearts which beat for God, to have vision which is set on Him. The beautiful life in Christ is one which is undivided devotion to our Heavenly Father instead of earthly treasures. And what that means is it's a life of generosity, a life of generosity to the people around us. And so this morning, as we hear from Jesus, we're going to be reminded of two simple but challenging truths as to why we should live wholeheartedly for God in a culture of materialism. And here they are: treasure perishes and treasure talks. Treasure perishes. You can write that down. That's our first point. Treasure perishes. In verses 19 to 20, the Lord Jesus calls his disciples to reorient their lives, to reorient them when it comes to material wealth, because earthly treasure perishes. Now, I'm on our local Facebook community page, Everton Park and Surrounds. Would definitely recommend, alongside the community news, job advertisements, and the petty squabbles, of course. It's a constant reminder that nothing is safe in Everton Park. There are stolen cars, stolen dogs, stolen scooters, stolen parcels, even stolen bonsai bougainvilleas owned by grandmothers. Just look back to last month. You see, Everton Park, nothing is safe. It's the same, though, for the first century AD. In the first century, nothing was safe either. Moths would get into people's clothes, rats and mice into stored grain, worms would take whatever's in the ground, and thieves could dig through mud walls of your home and take whatever you were keeping there. You see, material wealth was susceptible to decay and loss and theft. And so in verse 19, Jesus tells his disciples about what to do with their treasure. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus is appealing to wisdom. Stop storing up earthly treasure because it just won't last. Your wealth, my wealth, is perishable. No amount of protection, pesticides, insurance cover, security cameras, succession planning, cybersecurity, double authentication is going to stop that. It's not a matter of if our material wealth will perish, but a matter of when. And now at this point, it's important for us to understand that, or to understand what Jesus is and isn't forbidding. Jesus isn't forbidding possessions, private property, or the enjoyment of earthly goods. He isn't forbidding the wise storing up of materials for the future. No, what Jesus is forbidding is greed and materialism, the selfish accumulation of goods. In his book, Christian Counterculture, John Stott, he says this: "What then? What Jesus forbids his followers is the selfish accumulation of goods, extravagant and luxurious living, the hard-heartedness which does not feel the colossal need of the world's underprivileged people, the foolish fantasy that a person's life consists in the abundance of his possessions, and the materialism which tethers, which binds our hearts to this earth." You see, Jesus is forbidding greed and materialism, and so as his disciples, we need to quit it. We need to stop. We need to repent and turn back to our Lord because it doesn't pay. Nothing is safe here. And so then in verse 20, the Lord Jesus then calls his disciples to store up treasure in a more dependable place, a safer place. "Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." At this point, Jesus goes beyond kind of just wisdom. He now starts speaking about a different world, that there's a different reality, another reality which exists, that there is a heavenly place, a place which is safer than this one. Unlike earth, treasure in heaven is not susceptible to decay or theft. Treasure in heaven is indestructible and secure. And so Jesus is saying, store it up there. Now, unfortunately, if you're anything like me this week, you're probably wondering, what is this heavenly treasure? Problem is, Jesus doesn't really say. But if verse 19 is connected to the greedy accumulation and hoarding of material wealth, then verse 20 is probably an allusion to giving to the needy. In other words, to store up treasure in heaven is to be someone who is generous to those who are in need. We store up treasure when we pursue the kingdom virtue of generosity. Later in Matthew's gospel, this point is actually made in a conversation between Jesus and a rich man. In Matthew 19, 16 to 21, we hear that treasure in heaven is the compensation or the reward for selling earthly possessions and giving to the poor. This is Matthew 19, 16. "Just then a man came to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' Verse 21, Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven.'" You see, the point is that there is a way of life which is wiser, which is better and more secure than the culture around us. There's a way of life of generosity which pays off eternally. It doesn't pay to store up treasure here, but it does pay to store up heavenly treasure by a life lived in serving and giving toward others. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, now is the time for generosity. Today, in Christ, our Heavenly Father has brought us into His kingdom. And by living in His way of generosity, the Father is accumulating, protecting, stockpiling, and securing for us unimaginable wealth in heaven. And it is far, far greater than what we have here and now. Now is the time to be generous and to give, to care for those around us. It's the time to give in a culture bent on materialism and wealth. And so what might that look like for you and I? This week I came across the words from C.S. Lewis on Christian giving. It comes from his Mere Christianity, and he says this. I think it's a pretty good rule of thumb. He writes, "I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they, our expenditures, are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do because our charities' expenditure excludes them." To put it simply, be so generous that your life looks different to your neighbours. And that's hard. It's hard. Sam, be so generous that you can't always get Uber Eats. Sam, be so generous that you can't go to every Reds game. Sam, be so generous that you ignore the next iPhone upgrade or the next coffee machine upgrade. This is hard. And of course, this is going to look different for each one of us at different times and in different ways, but all of us are being called to reorient our lives when it comes to material wealth. Because when we do so, brothers and sisters, we lay up treasure in heaven, in our true home, purchased for us by Christ in His life and in His death and in His resurrection. Earthly treasure perishes, and so lay it up in heaven. But beyond this obvious fact that material wealth perishes, why is it so important that we be generous? Beyond the fact that it's good, why should we pursue this kind of generosity? Well, it's because treasure talks. And that's our second thing. Treasure talks. I'm getting a little bit excited at the moment. In 9 days, it's Ava's first birthday. But in 27 days, the National Football League kicks off. And I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And okay, you might not like football, and that's okay. But let me tell you, it's been a rough off-season. Arguably one of our second best players, Chris Jones, he's a defensive tackle. He is just huge. And he has been in contract disputes with upper management. Terrible time. Jones, he wants to be the highest paid defensive tackle in the league. A whopping salary of $30 million per annum. You see, for Chris Jones, money talks. Money talks. Jones's salary says something to the rest of the NFL community. I am the best defensive tackle there is. Money talks for Jones. It communicates his success. It communicates he's the best. It communicates that he's the most successful. And he's not going to get on that field this season until he gets it. Money talks. Treasure talks. And this is the Lord Jesus' fundamental point in verses 21 to 24. Jesus teaches his disciples that what a person does with their material wealth is crucial because it communicates something about that person's heart, their inner self. And our treasure, it talks in three ways. In verse 21, the Lord Jesus makes the point that your treasure locates your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's saying in our activity with material wealth, our heart is being located. How we use our wealth determines what we most fundamentally value. If we accumulate material wealth on earth, our hearts value what is earthly, corruptible, and transient. But if we are generous with our material wealth, our hearts value what is heavenly, incorruptible, and eternal. You see, treasure talks. What we do with it communicates what we set our hearts on. And then in verses 22 to 23, the Lord Jesus then makes the point that your eye shines inwardly. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Here the Lord Jesus is talking about the condition of the eye. And you need to understand that as he talks about the eye, it's a metaphor for what a person does with their material wealth. The word for a healthy eye can be better translated as single or whole. So in a conversation about material wealth, this language communicates a sense of generosity, kindness, and integrity. In contrast, though, the word for an unhealthy eye can be translated as evil or wicked. And so in this conversation about wealth, it communicates the idea of being stingy, greedy, and envious, single-focused and then double-focus. And so through mentioning the condition of the eye, Jesus is contrasting people's relationship with wealth. We either have a good eye of kindness and generosity or we have an evil eye of greed and stinginess. But here's the thing. Your eye shines inwardly. In this parable, Jesus says that the quality of the eye is decisive for the whole body. In other words, what you do with material wealth reflects and even affects your whole person. Your whole person. If we selfishly accumulate wealth on earth, we are living in darkness and even growing in darkness. But if we are generous with our wealth, we are living in light. Growing in light. You see, the darkness or light within is manifested by how we approach wealth. You see, treasure talks. Treasure talks. What we do with it communicates something about the inner self, about what's going on. And then in verse 24, Jesus' final parable, he reminds us that your service is total. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or you will love the other. Or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In this parable, Jesus is talking about a horrible experience of a slave who has two lords. It's kind of like that moment when you're a uni student and you've got two part-time jobs. You know, Macca's and Hungry Jack's, whatever it is. Miserable, that's what you are, and it feels impossible. What's going on here? The slave experiences serious conflict in their life. One lord is hated, the other loved. One lord is the object of devotion, the other is despised. The point Jesus is making is that your service is total. You cannot serve material wealth and serve God. It's an impossible thing. Jesus is saying, to live greedy lives focused on material wealth and to be truly dedicated to God. You see, what Jesus is saying is it's an either-or reality. It's an either-or reality. And when we hear that, I know it's hard to accept. You see, deep down, and I've been thinking this week, deep down, I wish we could just have both. I wish we could love God and love money, or love God and just continue to accumulate wealth. But it's an either-or mentality. And this reality echoes throughout so much of Matthew's gospel and even beyond. Here's a few sound bites from the rest of Matthew's gospel. It talks about this either-or reality. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Then later in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Teacher, Matthew 22:36, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. You see, the point throughout Matthew's gospel and beyond is that your service is total. We can't have both. We must choose. Treasure talks. What we do with it communicates something about who or what is our Lord and the strength of our allegiances. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope you can see that our relationship with material wealth, it's not just an external thing. It's not just a neutral thing. It actually affects and reflects what's going on inside. I don't know about you, but I can often spend, I can purchase, and I can shop without any real thought. It's not hard. I can just acquire more and more and more. And then I can also withhold. I'm good at that too. I can restrain, I can retain, I can be stingy. I can ignore the needs of others, and in this moment, it's just seems neutral to me. It just seems like it's an external thing. It just seems so physical that it has no bearing on my heart or what's going on inside. But our Lord Jesus is saying to us, that's not true. What we do with our wealth says something about our orientation in life, the moral quality of our inner being, and the very commitment we have to our Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, where's your heart? Where's your heart? How's your eye? Who's your Lord? Living for Christ in a culture which normalizes wealth and materialism, it's hard. It's always going to be hard. But the Lord Jesus is calling you and I to a better life, a more beautiful one, a wholehearted devotion toward God, to have a pure heart. And we should live this life because treasure perishes, doesn't it? And treasure talks. This needs to be a life of generosity that ends not in corruption but in immortality. And if this morning you're sitting here like I've been thinking all week, this is an impossibility, Sam. This is too hard. Well, just see the choice for what it is. You're choosing between wisdom and folly. You're choosing between heaven and earth. You're choosing between light and darkness, the Lord God and all other lords. It's an obvious choice, right? And if that's not enough, brothers and sisters, look at your Lord and your God. You have a Lord, the Lord Jesus. We don't need material wealth because we've got a Lord already. We've got a generous Lord. We've got a Lord who is gracious, a Lord who provides daily bread, a Lord who knows our need before we even ask him, a Lord of heaven and earth, a Lord who was rich but impoverished himself and was delivered over to the cross for just a mere 30 pieces of silver in order to enrich us and to bring us into his heavenly kingdom. Brothers and sisters, we have a Lord, a good Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, in his immense grace and by the power of his Spirit, let's pursue the beautiful life of wholeheartedness toward God and to a life of generosity toward others. As we sang earlier, be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, High King of heaven, my treasure thou art.